Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
All right, this is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assist!
Okay, here we go. I love irritating you.
Yeah, you're really good at it, too.
But.
Okay.
You know, for the texters, like, oh, come on, Evans, you're smarter than that. Any quarterback rolling to his left. Hey, look, Pete Carroll was taking bows and patting himself on the back. Here's a guy who's been coaching the NFL and coaching in football a long, long time as a defensive guy. And he made a big deal of it. So, must be something to it. And the numbers did back him up. So, anyway. We move on. Nathaniel Hackett not listening to his critics, tuning them out as the week went along. Says that that's part of the deal, as Will Peterson writes about at DenverFan.com. Boy, that was a harsh welcome to the NFL week for Nathaniel Hackett. What do you think he learned from this week as he gets ready to apply it week two and moving forward? What did he learn this week?
Well, I think there's a couple of things just from a, you know, just from a leadership standpoint, right? I think one, you've got to be willing to adjust your plan, right? If you come up with a plan and you realize the situation is kind of calls for something different, then you damn well better take your time, take a timeout, whatever, and adjust the plan, right? I think that's the number one thing. And then the other thing that I think he's got to learn is you are in charge. The buck stops with you. And you could have ended, like you could have, all your assistant coaches that had answered questions about it, you could have ended it. Think about it, Mike. You could have stood up on Tuesday, or you could have stood up Monday night after the game, the press conference, say, I totally botched that. And that's never going to happen again. That's 100% on me. It's not on my coaches. It was my decision. It's not on my quarterback. It's not on my kicker. It's not on anybody. I'm the head coach. That was my decision, and I botched it. And I can guarantee you, I cost us an opportunity, and I can guarantee it won't happen again. Like, you stand up and you do that, and that to me is leadership, man. And I think sometimes it has to be it. Well, not sometimes. It, all the time, it has to be learned. And you have to, and sometimes you have to go through those growing pains. And I hope that you go through that growing pain, and that's you know, that's what you come away with.
James Merrillat at DenverFan.com saying Justin Outen is the latest Broncos coach to put his foot in the mouth instead of honestly answering the question yesterday, especially since he is the offensive coordinator in title. What he actually does, I have no idea, because Nathaniel Hackett's the guy calling all the plays, but whatever. He has the title of offensive coordinator, and he only speaks once a week. Yesterday was his chance, and I would assume as somebody who is hoping that he's able to use this job title as a springboard to being a head coach, much like Nathaniel Hackett did under Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, that, you know, he might want to use these opportunities when he's up in front of the press to sort of, you know, show that he's made of head coaching material. So the fact that when he was asked about what happened Monday night, all he had to say was, there's no Marty McFly to go back in time. We're focused on Houston. It's been addressed long enough. Is that a good enough answer in your mind, or should he have framed it a different way?
No, I think, again, that's the head coach's responsibility. And those guys are like, hey, as much as and as painful as that is, man, you got to prepare for Houston on a short week. You know, I mean, those guys are grinding, you know, putting, installing game plans, and they're trying to figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have any issue with him saying, man, I don't want to address that. I think that I've moved on. I'm trying to game plan. You got any questions about Houston? If you don't, great, I'd like to get back to work. It's fine. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but it is Houston. Oh, nobody's interested in Houston. Houston's going to be lucky to win four games this year. This isn't switching from a Monday night against Seattle to a game with Kansas City this week. It's Houston. You'd be hard-pressed to name five guys on the Houston roster. They're a boring... there's no storylines with this team.
Right.
So you got to understand that this is what people are focused on and maybe have a better answer than... Well, you know, we're on to Houston, and there's no Marty McFly. There's no DeLorean for us to go back in. I don't know. Give us your take on it. Give us some more insight into what you were thinking. What did you see? But it's
so
clear.
What are you gonna say though? Like, what do you say? Yeah, I was thinking the whole time we should go for it, but you know, I'm not like, you can't say that.
No, but you should be able to come up with something more nuanced, more substantial than that. Come on, you got a hungry fan base that is focused on the Broncos that wants all the information they can get.
Listen, I know
all the insight they can get.
Right, that does him no good. What good does that do him? Like, what can you say? What can you say at that moment that does you as a coach any good? You can't.
Here's the biggest takeaway I think that this coaching staff, I hope, learns is you want to have a relationship with your players. You want to have almost some sort of pseudo partnership, right? You want to be player coaches. You want to get their input. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're still the parent. And it's still your job. Thank you for the advice. Thank you for the input. But you're still not going out tonight. You're still grounded. Your curfew is not going to be 2 a.m. It's going to be midnight. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that the lesson that Nathaniel Hackett and his staff learned this week is probably, like, how many times were you in the huddle with John Elway after a play, and Shannon Sharpe came running back to the hall and said, I'm open, right? I bet you Shannon Sharpe thought he was open on every single play.
Sure.
And what did John Elway say? Thank you, Shannon. Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's ultimately what it should be, right?
Right.
As coaches. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, did you want to add to that?
No. I just is, again, go ahead. Move on. You just did. I'm a little irritated with you right now. Sitting here, the sun's coming up. It's beautiful. Well, the sun's been coming up, but I get this beautiful, gigantic room. I should just be in all my glory right now.
Sitting naked on a balcony.
Sitting naked on a leather chair.
Air drying.
Just air drying. But meanwhile, you're just irritating me.
All right, well. Okay, that's what's going on at DenverFan.com. Check it all out. Free content added throughout the course of the day. It has been quite the week. Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joins us. And Mace, there have been some pretty salacious headlines at DenverFan.com throughout the course of the week. You know, I'm thinking back to the column I wrote, which, by the way, the headline writers did not do me any favors. Really? When I said that he had lost the faith of Broncos country. No, I just said that he had put himself into prove-it mode. But anyway, we had other headlines like Nathaniel Hackett failed Russell Wilson in the Broncos opening fiasco. That one came down a couple hours ago, written by John Davis. Mace, you're the one we turn to for some sober analysis of everything that's going on. You've been right there in the middle of it since Monday night. You were in Seattle. So what do you make of the way that this story has been covered all week?
Well, I do think some of the headlines and some of the pieces have been a little bit, let's just say that there's been an overreaction based on one game and drawing conclusions about who and what Nathaniel Hackett and his coaching staff are based on one decision in one game. So I think some of them have gone a little bit too far and been unfair. I mean, that being said, though, it hasn't gone away. And every time you think the fallout from that decision to kick the 64-yard field goal has gone away. Something else has been said. We were, you know, we were kind of discussing this yesterday, that maybe this is like it would have been a good idea this week to have the assistant coaches talk on Tuesday rather than Thursday, because when we heard from Dwayne Stukes and Justin Outen, it seemed like it put a little more gas on the flame on the flames to keep them from burning out on this sort of thing. So it's like it just kind of extends and grows. And the fact that it was Monday Night Football and everybody saw it around the country didn't help either, because you can turn on ESPN or any other sports debate show nationally this week, and this was topic A for quite a bit. So,
yeah, it certainly was topic A, and obviously it's not going away anytime soon until you start winning games, and they've got a big one this weekend. So, I mean, you know, Houston is here, and that'll shut everybody up if they go out there and play well. What about Pete Carroll's kind of stuff about here's the game plan to stop Russell Wilson, you know, rush three, use a spy, force him out to his left, and, you know, he's just not going to be nearly as accurate and this, that, and the other, you know, and as I told Mike earlier, yeah, he limited him to 69% completions and 340 yards, so yeah, I mean, I hope we're that successful, but any merit to that, and you feel like that's there's a kind of blueprint that Pete Carroll created to shut down Russell Wilson?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head that despite that blueprint, he had a good game. I mean, he did complete 69% of his passes. He was pretty accurate. They were able to take some deep shots and have some success to pass to Jerry Jeudy, drawing a couple of pass interference penalties downfield. So I think Pete was kind of feeling his oats a little bit when he said that. The other thing is, I don't think he said anything that coaches around the league didn't know or wouldn't have picked up over time based on their own film study. So I think it's one of those things where it's fascinating that's in the public sphere and that he couldn't quite let things go, but I don't know that it was a big deal kind of tactically football wise that he was saying. I think it was just a guy who was feeling really good about getting what he certainly perceives deep down as a measure of vindication for everything that's gone on over the past several months.
Andrew Mason joining us, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. All right, so for the fans out there who are like, all right, enough of Seattle. Focus on the Texans. Talk about the Texans game. Okay, Mace, sell me on the Texans. Why is this team potentially dangerous? Why should the Broncos be on upset alert as one of the biggest favorites in the NFL this weekend?
Well, I wouldn't base it so much on last week against the Colts. Now, Lovie Smith, Texans head coach, when he was on a media conference call with Denver media on Wednesday, he did say that, in terms of his team kind of learning how to win, he did say that he told his team, look, we got blasted by the Colts last year and we tied them on Sunday. So we've caught them. I would disagree based on that, just because, yes, the scoreboard does say that you had a tie, but it was a game that had a lot in common with the Broncos against the Seahawks. I think it was clear the Broncos were the better team on balance and that they made mistakes that cost them the game. And I think the same thing was true in Colts-Texans. The Colts, I think, is a superior team, controlled the pace of play, but made a lot of self-inflicted mistakes, and it turned what should have been a certain win for the Colts into a tie. Now, one thing I would do with the Texans is I go back and look late last year and look at some of the games that Davis Mills had, because the upset threat probably comes from him getting into a rhythm, especially with Brandon Cooks and O.J. Howard. The upset threat comes from Mills to Howard in particular, because the Broncos have had some trouble with tight ends last week in Seattle. They're not going to have Justin Simmons. Josie Jewell maybe is back at practice today with a calf injury, but I wouldn't necessarily count on him being able to play on Sunday. So you could have some of the same, a few of the same issues with tight ends that you had last week. Howard might be able to exploit that. Brandon Cooks, if they can get him in some good matchups, he can get into a rhythm of the pass catcher as well. So I would say that is where the Texans provide an upset threat, is if the elements of their passing game get into the rhythm, if Davis Mills does have time to throw, gets confident, then that's where Houston can come in and surprise you and maybe shock the world on Sunday.
All right. Well, that said, give us a prediction. What do you got for Sunday?
I've got Broncos 34, Texans 20. And I think Houston will have its moments, but I think you'll see the offense be, the Broncos offense be crisper. I don't think you'll see the same level false starts and delay of games that you saw in Seattle on Monday night. I think that's one thing, obviously, being at home, having being able to operate in a relative quiet from the crowd on offense, what will help. And I think and the chances of seeing two key fumbles from running backs like you saw Monday night and losing them both, I mean, the odds of that happening in back-to-back weeks are pretty astronomical. So just kind of looking at the things that went wrong, but looking at the fundamental stuff that went right for the Broncos offense, I think they'll put up a pretty strong number and have a very good day.
All right, Mace, thank you very much. We'll talk to you on Sunday pregame. Thank you.
My pleasure, fellas. Take care.
Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com. So he's got him going for 34. I got him going for 30. I think you have him over 30 as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I like that 34 number, or 35 maybe, one of those, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I've got 30 to 13. I think they bounce back in a big way. Big
I like way. That. Yeah. I think it's a good score.
I think it's a big break. So for all the negativity this week, don't worry. The Broncos are going to bounce back, and I think they're going to deliver a performance that has us all feeling really good going into the San Francisco game.
Agreed. I mean, totally agree.
You know what else I like about this matchup?
What is that, Mike?
Come on. What do I like about this matchup, especially at the quarterback position? What do I like about it?
What do you like about it? There's a clue in there.
There is a clue.
There's a clue.
Come on now. At the quarterback position. The quarterbacks. What do I like about this matchup between Russell Wilson and Davis Mills?
Okay, you like their khaki pants.
They're two khaki pants guys.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll see.
Two third-round picks squaring off. Proof that you don't need to overdraft quarterbacks, that if ultimately your goal, as I've been told, is, hey, you're trying to find a quarterback that could be your starting quarterback and you can go forward with your plan as being your starting quarterback, here you go. You got two of them.
Yes, you love that.
I love that.
Two khaki pants quarterbacks.
That's right.
So, you're right. Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with that. Makes me happy. So you've had a chance to look at the coach's film from the Broncos in Seattle as you've been preparing for Seattle and San Francisco. You mentioned a couple guys that flashed for you for the Broncos on defense. You talked about Alex Singleton. You talked about DJ Jones. Anybody else on defense? Anybody on offense really flashed for you?
I think Pat Surtain, one, is like, that dude's a full-grown man. That dude played his butt off. And, all but a few plays, he shadowed DK Metcalf. And, DK Metcalf is, I don't have any hesitation saying he's just the most physically gifted receiver in football. Like, he just manhandles people. And Pat Surtain just played his butt off. He had no issues with him. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about pattern matching, reading, like, not only physical, like his ability to physically run with him and physically in and out of breaks and do all those things, But that also tells me that you really know, like, you've really studied. You know what that guy is running. You know what, like, when he gets out of a break, you're right in his hip pocket. He had a couple deep balls, you know, deep sideline balls where Pat Surtain was right in his hip pocket, like, breaking down things or knocking down things. And the balls, the seven he caught, were 36 yards. They were like, he's in off coverage. You know, he's playing like a deep off, like a, you know, just a 8-9 yards off the ball. And they throw it underneath, the, like on a little thunder, hitch, like a hitch route. And he just comes up, tackles him, and says, okay, what do we do now? Where do you want to go from here? Like, no yards after the catch. It was one of the most impressive performances I've watched. For sure. So, awesome. Defensively, those guys.
How about offense?
You know, I think I was really impressed early with the way the Broncos ran the ball. I thought they ran the ball exceptionally well. I thought their screen game was on point. And I got to tell you, I've never, in all my years in the NFL, 12 years that I played in the NFL, I was never a part of a very good screen team. And the timing of the screens and all that stuff, that takes, there's a rhythm to it, and maybe it was just me because I'm the reason we weren't very good at screens, but I was impressed with their screen game. I was impressed with their early run game. I wish they would have stuck with that and worn down the defense of Seattle a little bit more. So I was really incredibly impressed with that stuff. And then, like I said, I was really impressed with Courtland Sutton and Russell Wilson kind of being on the same page. It's not a mind melt, Mike. It's a mind meld.
Yeah. I never called it a mind melt.
I know you haven't, but I have. Oh. And I found out that it was a mind meld, not a mind melt.
I keep going with it. It's part of your charm.
So anyhow, I just thought that there was a bunch of plays where Courtland adjusted routes. And here's the other thing. The good news is, like, Russell completed 69% of his passes for 340 yards, and he did not have the deep ball going. He just didn't have great touch. There just wasn't great chemistry on the deep ball. And I expect that to get better. Although he did get the one to Jerry Jeudy, but it was underthrown, and that was a really nice slot fade route out of a three by one formation. But really nice effort by Jerry Jeudy. And then I thought that he got two pass interference calls on deep balls.
Yep.
It wasn't there yet. And that gives me great hope. Like, it's going to get there.
Yep. Continue to have that mind melt going. Some of the observations there from Stink after watching the coach's film of Broncos and Seattle. Hey, speaking of Sunday's game, if you have tickets to the game, we want you to join us for our VIP experience at Mile High Station during the Fan Football pregame show. D-Mac and myself will be there broadcasting. Love to have you here, there with us, hanging out. Be caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043. You'll win 4 VIP passes to enjoy food and drink before Sunday's game with us at Mile High Station. Now, these are not tickets to the game, but a special VIP experience to hang out with us at Mile High Station beforehand. Good luck to caller number 4. Coming up next, the great Sandy Clough joins us here in studio, and with news you do not want to miss. That's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
You're going to need a bigger pouch.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
Fine, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big, 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 huge.
Well, this is certainly qualifying as big, big, big. Big news. As proud and welcome to the show, the great Sandy Clough, who joins us here in studio. Sandy, good morning. And you got some big news you want to share with everybody.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, that, I came in here this morning because I realized I had a headset at home. And rather than running the risk of being charged with stealing, theft, pilfery, I just came in here to return the headsets, and then I hear you about 3 or 4 minutes ago say that there's some big announcement.
Yeah, so...
And so I better come up with some big announcement.
All right, what do you got?
How would the fact that I'm retiring do as a big announcement? Would that fit the bill?
That would be a huge announcement.
All right. Okay. So I kind of thought of that just in the last few minutes.
I had to come up with something.
So, right. Yes, I'm retiring, and with the headlines across all the sports outlets nationally this morning being that there is some question whether Robert Sarver will be able to continue as owner of the Phoenix Suns even beyond his one-year suspension. Who knows? I've saved my pennies. Maybe I'll become a minority investor in the Phoenix Suns. Help them out a little bit.
Wow, this is. I'm not gonna lie. This is bittersweet news. I'm really happy for you, but as somebody who has known you and worked with you since I first got here, I mean, the first person I worked with was you in 1998.
Correct.
I'm feeling a jumble of emotions right now. I mean, you came here. When did you come to Denver?
The year before you did, actually.
To the fan, but when, to did, the you fan. To, when did you come
oh,
to Denver?
August of 1979.
Wow.
So it's been a nice 43-year run, plus a month.
Gosh.
Jeez.
That is absolutely me. So, Sandy, I got to tell you a story. One of the first, I was probably right after I retired, and I was working at ESPN. And I came on, it's probably the first time, one of the first times I've ever come on the fan with you. And, you know, Sandy Clough is a legend, obviously, in this market. And I got you to, I said something that made you kind of chuckle, and it was like a proud moment for me. I laid a line on you that my dad said to me. He was like, luck has a smell of perspiration. You asked about some luck, and I said, Sandy, luck has a smell of perspiration. And you kind of chuckled. And I was like, I was just new into broadcasting. I was like, I got the great Sandy Clough to chuckle.
You got
like,
endorsed. You got endorsed.
Yeah, it was an endorsement. So I felt really good about that. And it's because we hadn't really spent any time together at that point.
Right. You wouldn't talk to me. Of course, no. You as offensive lineman wouldn't talk to anybody. So I did not take it personally, but yes, that was probably the first conversation we had ever had. Now, I had you got here during the 90s, and there were a few guys who had gotten here before you did that I could talk to. Never for attribution, of course, but I could talk to them. But obviously, most of you guys did adhere publicly and even privately to the edict that you would not talk to members of the media. But you've been a star in broadcasting from the beginning. I mean, you're as much of a broadcaster
Sandy,
as I'll ever
be. We're not here to talk about Mark. Believe me.
I know you love to talk about yourself.
Mark talks about himself every single day. Can we keep talking
about me during your retirement speech, Sandy. I love this.
This would be the ultimate Schlereth moment that Sandy Clough is retiring after 43 years on Denver radio, the last 25 spent here with the fan, and Mark wants to make it about himself.
Well, you know, and I know, but I want to say this correspondingly to Mike Evans, my friend of almost a quarter century now. And my partner on several different broadcast ventures we don't have time enough to document. But Mike Evans is the best driver in the country right now, national, local, anywhere. And that it is a compliment to you both that you play your roles to the hilt. You're not only the best morning show in America. I think you're the best sports talk show in America, national or local, and good luck to both of you for as long as you want to continue on in this business.
That's truly humbling, Sandy, and I'm hearing that from you. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, let's get back to talking about me. That was too much about Mike.
I've had over the years so many people say, "What's it like to work with Sandy?" What's all, you know? Because they hear you on the radio, and they're like, "What's Sandy like?" And I said, "Here's the thing you need to know about Sandy: that he's been doing it 43 years, and you have never, ever lost your passion. Never. It remains as authentic today as it did in 1979. Maybe the bombast isn't as high now as it was then, but your passion for sports, your passion for talking about sports, your passion for analyzing and studying it, I've never met anyone who does it better and more at a level that you do and have done for decades. And the fact that you've been able to maintain that as long as you have truly blows my mind. And in fact, when I first came here, so I came here in 1998, we started working together, and I come here from Dallas, and I'm like, I'm going to take Denver by storm. I'm not going to back down to anybody. I'm going to be super opinionated and this and that. And so you
wouldn't know anything about that.
So you and I start, and we are having some knockdown, drag out wars on the radio. And at one point, I just sat back. I said, I can't match this guy. And he's not going to change. I don't want him to change. So I'm going to change a little bit. And we took on kind of a different role.
Right.
And we've been able to wear it so comfortably. There have been times we've been apart for years. And then we'll sit down together. We'll do a show, and it comes back just like normal. So I want to tell you that as you announce your retirement, I think the greatest compliment I can give you is, man, you are as authentic as anybody I have ever come across in this business.
Well, that's as great a compliment as I can ever receive, especially coming from you. And I know I have Mark's best wishes. And I want to thank you both, because you've been supportive not only of my work professionally, but on a personal level, which you both know all about. And I want to thank you both from the bottom of my heart. That's the one thing I'll miss. The work I won't miss. And my passion remains. Listen, I'll be a sports observer, sports fan. There are some things I want to do with my life, that I think might be still fairly impactful. But retirement isn't exile either. So, you'll be seeing me around from time to time.
Good. I hope so.
I would be remiss, though, and Sandy, you are the best, man, and you are a legend, and we're all just all better off for having heard you all these years on the airwaves here in Denver, Colorado. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the debacle that was Monday night and the botching.
Just eviscerate somebody, please.
Yeah, please.
Well, I tried my best on Tuesday night, which was my last show on the air. But I'll give you this line. I used it the other night. And as I often do, I steal lines from friends I know. They aren't on-air people. They're not media people, and I try to give them credit whenever I can. But I did say Monday night, in the last 2 minutes, I thought it was Buddy Hackett coaching rather than Paul Hackett's son coaching on the sidelines. And that'll give you some kind of sense of how I felt about the way things turn. But even as an objective observer, didn't watching that game drive you nuts? As a football purist, as a football person, Mark, and you too, Mike, as someone who's watched sports, it's not the end of the world that the Broncos lost, even for the Broncos season in 2022. But just watching that game it's the same old, same old. Just with a slightly different coaching cast, different actors, but it's the same theme, same narrative.
I put myself in the position of being in the broadcast booth while that's going on.
Yes.
And I think to myself at the time, I was like, should they be calling a timeout? And I catch myself doing this in the broadcast booth all the time, just like talking to myself in my own head, like, shouldn't they be calling a timeout? Am I on crazy pills? Like, am I missing something here? Am I like I don't want to say anything, because what if I'm an absolute idiot and I'm not thinking about stuff? Like, shouldn't somebody be calling a timeout? It would make sense to me.
Sandy, after 43 years in Denver and 25 here with the fan, folks, if you just joined us, Sandy Clough announcing his retirement. And we always talk about you. We always introduce you as the great Sandy Clough. And
that's Alfred Williams' fault, by the way.
You are great. You are great. Yes. You are a Denver legend. And we are going to miss you. But you're right. This is not goodbye. But I there are so many Sandy Clough stories, but I'll leave you with this one. And this is one of my favorites because back in the day, I've had so many longtime Bronco fans tell me, man, back in the day when Sandy used to do the Bronco postgame shows, it was amazing. And you should, and we will protect the name, but you used to tell me about how there was a Bronco assistant that would always tell you that the assistant coaches under Dan Reeves would always run out of the building as soon as they could after a game was over so they could get to their cars and listen to you eviscerate Dan Reeves.
We both. And they would only do it after losses.
Right.
And the Broncos didn't lose a lot at home, but their two coaches, whom all three of us know quite well. All right, well, leave it at that. And one of them told me that he and his friend, his colleague, would race to the car, especially after losses. Not just to hear me, but to hear fans react. And there would be a good deal of evisceration of the head coach. That was just a part of the deal back in the day.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is.
Sandy, from the bottom of our hearts, I think I speak for everybody listening right now. Thank you for everything you've done for Denver Sports Talk, Denver Sports over the last four decades. We wish you nothing but the best in retirement.
Thanks, fellas. I really appreciate it. I couldn't thank you both any more with words than I already have, but I hope deep in your hearts you know how I feel about you both.
Great. Some of my...
Hey, Sandy.
Is it dusty in here? Hey, good thing you're not here, Stink, because your allergies would be really...
Your allergies would be running amok.
Very, very dusty in here right now. Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Coming up, Fearless Predictions for Sunday. That's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, we have arrived at that point of the show on a Bud Light Football Friday. You got it? You got a fever?
Prediction? Yes, prediction. Hey.
Hey, woman!
All right, so it has been a long week. And it's been a week where, you know, some Bronco fans have been like, come on, guys, you've been dwelling too long on the what happened on Monday night. Turn the page. All right, we're turning the page. We're turning the page right now, okay?
Love
and
it.
Do you feel good about the Broncos on Sunday? Do you worry about any kind of a hangover or anything like that? What's your prediction for Sunday?
Oh, I feel great about the Broncos. I feel great about what they did the other night. I mean, they were dominant on the defensive side of the ball, only giving up 17 points. You know, and they gave up 7 points in the first drive on a play where it should have been a sack and they end up getting a broken play for a touchdown. So, like, I feel great about what they did defensively. I really feel good about where they are offensively, the things they did. And, like, I just think that continues. I think they build on that stuff. I think this is a Broncos blowout win. I mean, I really do. I think they hang 30-plus on the Houston Texans and hold them to about 10, 13 points. So, yeah, I feel really good about where this game is right now.
Yeah, I do, too. I think that you want to take the positives out of what we saw, and for all the talk about, hey, offensively, how will they look after not doing anything during the preseason, new coach, new quarterback, how does everything work? The fact that they were able to put up 433 yards, 8 of 15 on third down, tells me that, there's a lot to work with, and there were a lot of fluky things that happened. The two fumbles from the one, you got to go back to 1987 with the replacement team, a team made up of replacement players for the Kansas City Chiefs that had two fumbles from the one. So it was flukish stuff. It was some self-inflicted wounds that you got to figure will get ironed out, and you take the good from what they did. Fix some of the bads, and I think what you're left with is, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a big day offensively, and I like the Broncos 30-13.
So what you're saying is you take the good.
You take the bad.
You take bad. You take them both, and there you have a Broncos win.
Boom. Somebody a lot smarter than us once said that. They're actually saying
it. You know, there's a bunch of people. There's a bunch of people driving around right now that are just like, that is good.
That is
good. And there's a bunch of people driving around right now going, what the hell are they talking about?
Look it up, people. Look yeah. it up. Yeah. GTS, man. Mm-hmm. GTS. So, yeah, I like the Broncos to roll. So.
I do too.
By the way, don't forget to
I feel like we need to have a little, like, going into the weekend moment here where, I don't know, maybe we just bury the hatchet, so to speak. You know, we've had kind of a contentious show today.
It has been a little bit contentious. You coming after me to the point where listeners were like, wow, Evans, how's it feel to be on the receiving end? And I actually responded to a couple people. I say, I'm not going to lie, it feels a little strange. I don't know quite how to handle it. So then naturally I had to fight back. And it was one of more contentious shows.
I got a little testy.
Yeah. So we good? Are we good?
I think we're good.
I think we're good, right?
It probably started when I woke up and both nostrils just started gushing blood for no apparent reason.
We got a leader!
When I haven't even started the show and I get a text from you and there's a picture with both of your nostrils just jammed with tissue paper, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. It's going to be one of those.
Who calls your mud? You're a leader.
Now, what I'm asking you to do, please, is because I know you got some dried blood in your stash.
Yeah.
Please leave it there. Leave it
just
there.
Leave it
go
there.
Meet with Kyle Shanahan and just tell him how ready and how intense you feel about this broadcast on Sunday, so much so that you got blood in your mustache and you're not going to wash it off.
Now, when he walks in, do I warn him or do I just sucker punch him? That was from your dad.
Oh, that's right. Tell the story for those who missed it.
Yeah. So I texted Mike and I said, hey, man, I'm going to meet with Kyle tomorrow. What do you think? Should I punch him in the gut for you? He goes, yeah, and Greasy too. Punch him too. So, you know, I mean, I love the getting picked up by the car service and the guy at the car service basically saying, Mike Shanahan, that guy was a genius. His son, not so much. His son's not that bright.
You got to tell Mike.
I got to tell Kyle that story.
And Mike, too.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I just sat in the car and just had to listen to it all.
Our Broncos pick, presented by King Soopers, official grocer of the Denver Broncos. Make sure you get to DenverFan.com and make sure you make your picks this week in our King Soopers Fan Football Pick'em. Every pick is important if you're trying to win free groceries for a year, but there are weekly prizes to be won as well. So take our advice, put it in the bank. Broncos with the win on Sunday. We'll be back again to talk about it bright and early Monday morning. I'll be on noon till kickoff. DMAC and I back together again. I don't know. How many years is this? I mean, it's about 10 years we've been doing the pregame show. We'll be back again at Mile High Station. So if you're going to be at the game, please stop
on
by.
It's been 84 years.
Not that long. Although, believe me, at times it feels like 84 years with him. But stop on by Mile High Station and hang out with us prior to the game on Sunday. Mark, have a great call. Send
Thank
our
you,
regards to Pete Carroll, please.
I definitely will do that.
Orlando in for Nate Jackson. So we got Chad and Orlando coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.